Amen. Are you thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. More importantly, are you awake? Amen. Amen. No. Oh, man. About to make you guys get up and do jumping jacks until we wake up. Amen. Then I'd go down as probably the meanest preacher here. Amen. We're not going to do that. Amen. But I am thankful for the opportunity that I have to preach here this morning. Do not take it lightly. And I came here with a burden on my heart. Amen. I was messing around with Shane last night, and I told him, I said, I love it when messages line up. And he goes, oh, yeah. And I said, it didn't happen. Amen. Amen. But I will say this, that the songs that we were singing this morning somewhat is a part of my message. So I know we're on the right route. Amen. But I know that the Lord has laid a message on my heart, and I feel it so. Amen. So if you would, open up to Psalms chapter 147. Psalms chapter 147, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 147, verses 1 through 5. If you got it, those that are able, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Psalms 147, verses 1 through 5. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, that was pretty strong. I like that. It was pretty good. Amen. Our church, we say amen. There's like two or three of us. Amen. The Bible reads like this. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bind up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Amen. I'm going to take this text and preach to you this morning. Is there a doctor in the house? Is there a doctor in the house? Amen. You're going to help me preach? You're not too tired, are you? Amen. Give me a little bit of effort here. Amen. Help me preach this morning. Stretch your hand this way. Ask the Lord to help and anoint and have his way in this service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you would reach down here to us. Help us. God, help us. Let there be a season to come by. Open our ears to hear you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Putting into action the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Touching this morning, we walk out different than when we walk in. Our minds have been changed by the power of God. And I pray that you move this morning, get our attention. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. But I understand a lot of the times we come out to youth events and to youth camps, youth rallies and stuff like that. And a lot of the times we get caught up in seeing each other and get caught up with trying to catch up with each other. And we come to services and we feel the presence of the Lord so strongly. And it's because we're coming here on purpose to praise the Lord and to be together in the house of the Lord. But a lot of the times, amen, we will come in and leave the same way that we came. Amen. But I don't want that to happen this morning. So I want you to put everything aside. I want you to put away what we're going to do after service today. I want you to put away what you're going to do later on with your buddies or your people that you just met. And I want you to think about this service and have your mind on this service. But the book of Psalms is one of my favorite books of the Bible because most of the Bible, most of the books of the Bible is an account of a situation or it's telling a story of something that has happened or something or an event that has taken place. You read over in the Gospels, you can find descriptions of Jesus Christ and you can read about the accounts that happened there. But the book of Psalms is unique because it is where we can connect with the writer. Amen. As they find an intimate place with God. Though most of the time we attribute the book of Psalms to David, we quickly find that David only wrote about 73 of the 150 Psalms. Amen. David wrote some of the most popular Psalms in the book. When we think of the book of Psalms, we think of Psalms 23. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me, maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Aren't you glad for that today? Or we think of Psalms 51, where David is repenting before the Lord for his sin with Bathsheba, and he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from mine ways. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. Understand today that when we read in the book of Psalms, we can relate to what the psalmist is going through. Amen. How many people in this place could have prayed Psalms 51, Lord, have mercy on my soul, for I have sinned and done evil in thy sight. How many people have been able to say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. The book of Psalms is unique in that way, to where we can relate to the writer. Amen. In the book of Psalms, it is full of prayer, it is full of wisdom, it is full of songs, but most of all, it is full of praises to God. But just like the scripture that we read this morning, the writer starts off by saying, praise ye the Lord. Amen. This isn't a request of action, but it is a command of action. Amen. Praising God isn't a duty that you have to do, but it is a duty that you will willingly do if you are actually saved and under his grace. Amen. It is something that someone cannot stop you from doing. You'll come into church, amen, and you'll automatically just start praising the Lord simply because you know that he's been good to you. Amen. It is something that you will want to do in your life. Amen. Spurgeon said it like this. He said, praise ye the Lord. Such an exhortation may fitly be addressed to all of those who owe anything to the favor of God. And which of us does not? Pay him we cannot, but praise him we will, not only now, but forever. Amen. I'm in debt today to the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. Amen. And saved me from a devil's hell. Today, I need to start praising God and thanking him for the fact that he loved me and died for me. Amen. But here we understand in the book of Psalms, amen, Psalms 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name with me together. Amen. We also read over in Psalms 113, verses 3 through 5, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above the heavens, and his glory is above the heavens. Who shall be like our Lord who dwelleth on high? Amen. Psalms chapter 8, we should know it. Amen. New Hope Pentecostal. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, but hast crowned him with glory and honor. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and he made a way for me to be saved tonight. We begin to see a theme when we read in the Bible that praising God is imperative. Praising God is not something that we are forced to do, but it is something that we will willingly do, amen, if we are saved. It is so imperative that when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he starts off with adoration. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he ends it with adoration. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. It's a theme that happens throughout the Bible. But when we read in our text today, it says, for the praises of God are pleasant. The praises of God are pleasant. When we praise God from the abundance of our heart, it is pleasant unto God, but not only pleasant to God, but it is also pleasant to us as well, because it creates a bond of appreciation and love towards God. Amen. The more that we praise him, the more he will bless us. Amen. The more that we praise him, the more that he will visit. The more that we praise him, the more that he will move. He is delighted with the praises of his people. It makes him joyful and proud when he sees someone lifting up their hands and giving adoration to God and giving thanks to God for what he's done. And then we read later on, and it says his praise is comely. Amen. That word comely is just a fancy word saying beautiful. Okay, my wife is very comely. Amen. There's nothing more beautiful in God's eyes than when a child of God lifts up their hands with tears and snot running down their face, and they start worshiping God from the abundance of their heart. Amen. It may look funny to us. It may look crazy when someone takes off shouting. It may look funny when someone looks over and we've got tears and snot.
not running out of our eyes. Amen. But if we're praising God with everything that we have, God looks at that and says, that is absolutely beautiful. That is something that I look at and I'm happy about. Amen. I'm thankful today. Amen. There's nothing more beautiful than when you see a grown man who's hard. Amen. That's a burly man. He comes in here and gets broken under the presence of God and starts praising him. There's nothing more beautiful than when a child that's 10, 11 years old starts worshiping God and praising him for who God really is in their lives. And since praise is so wonderful and so precious and so comforting, why don't we lift our hands today and start praising God for what he's done for us? Come on, church. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. He's brought you out of the bondage of hell. He set you free and set you on a solid rock for you to stay. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I think about the Lord and what he's done for me, amen, I can't help but raise my hands and say, thank you, God, for the times that you've helped me. Thank you, Lord, for the times that you've delivered me. Thank you, Lord, for the times that you've came to me in the midnight hour.
You're worthy to be praised.
Hallelujah.
Praise. It's important. But the writer says, praise ye the Lord, for he heals the broken in heart. He binds up their wounds. Amen. In our text today, it talks about two types of people. It talks about the brokenhearted and the wounded. I want to ask some young person today, have you ever had a broken heart? You ever had a broken heart? Seriously? And I'm not talking about when you were 5 and your boyfriend broke up with you. I'm not talking about that. We've all had that. Amen. I want you to think about it, girlfriend. I had a girlfriend at 5. Had to fix that. Amen. We don't believe that way, church, okay? I want you to think about it. You ever had a loved one in your family pass away? And it changed your life to the point to where your heart's broken? You ever had a situation happen to you that completely broke your heart? It seemed like all hell broke loose in your life and your heart is completely broken. You don't know what you're going to do about it. Have you ever felt like life has handed you the short end of the stick? Come on. There are many reasons today that a heart can be broken. It can be broken by the past that we've lived. It could be broken from high expectations let down. It can be broken by things not really being what they seem to be. How many people understand that the circumstances that your parents have put you through can also lead you to have a broken heart? Amen. Many people are living today with a broken heart due to the circumstances that they've been in, but many people will live a painful life in silence because they don't want to try to fix it. They don't want to try to reach out, and every single time that they do try, amen, their heart ends up being broken even more. Understand today that we have to be careful of that. We need not to keep a broken heart. Listen, let me give you an example of what happened to me. December 18th, 2015. We just got done having church that Thursday night. Me and my wife went over to my grandmother's house. She was sick. She was dying. And it was tragic how it happened. My grandmother, just a couple weeks before, I don't even think it was a week before, we were in church on Sunday. My mom calls me. She said, I need you to help me. I need you to get Granny to the hospital. I go, take her to the hospital. They put her on suicide watch and all this stuff because of the situation that happened. Amen. They did MRIs and did testing on her and everything, and it came back that she had cancer all over her body. Completely took us by surprise. And we took her back to the house, and the doctor said there's really nothing we can do except for give her morphine to relieve her pain. She was on morphine. I remember that night, me and my wife went to the house, and we do what newlyweds do. We fight. Me and Kristen don't fight much, but we did that night. Lord, forgive me for lying behind the pulpit. No. But we fought that night. And it was absolutely, it was probably one of our biggest blowouts that we've had. Has anybody ever had a blowout fight with your wife? Am I the only one? Okay. I'm sorry. I had a blowout fight.
Amen.
We had a blowout fight. And it was something that was honestly something that was causing strain on my and her marriage. You know, you just get married, you're getting to know that person, and you're getting to know things that you didn't know about them. Or you're getting to know their personality, and you're getting to understand different things. And then there was this one specific area that was just straining on our marriage, and we fought about it like cats and dogs, and we went at each other and just kept fighting and kept fighting and kept fighting. And that night, my grandmother passed away, and it completely broke my heart, because the last thing that my grandmother knew was that me and my wife were fighting. The last thing that my grandmother heard was me and my wife yelling at each other. Broke my heart. I didn't know what to do. I remember waking up, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, I hear my mom's voice saying, "Mom, Mom." And I get up out of bed and I ran in there and I grabbed my grandmother and she's cold. And all I could think was the last thing she heard was me and my wife arguing. Broke my heart. I didn't know what I was going to do about it. I didn't know how to change it. I didn't know how in the world I was going to get out of that circumstance. I didn't know how I was going to make it right. She was gone. I couldn't make it right. But I remember shortly after going to a church service and understanding that I don't have to live with a broken heart any longer. I understood quickly that Jesus was able to heal my broken heart, that he was able to mend that back together and make things right. And let me tell you, friend, there's been people come against me and my wife and say that we're not going to make it. And let me tell you, we've been married for 3 years and we got a kid on the way. And I'm telling you right now that the Lord has restored our marriage. The Lord has made it to where I don't have a broken heart anymore in that situation. And I'm thankful for that today. And we've got to understand that we do not have to live with a broken heart as long as Jesus is around. We see a broken heart is caused by circumstances, but wounds are most likely caused by others. Has anyone ever had their reputation taken and ran through the mud? Has anyone ever felt the pain of someone's poorly thought statements? Has anyone ever been let down by someone that you looked up to? As young people, it's easy for that to happen. Amen. Sometimes wounds are accidental. Sometimes wounds come from people in positions of authority and they don't mean to do it, but it's a result of collateral damage. Come on. There's some times where people in positions of authority, they don't mean to hurt your feelings and they don't mean to cut you deep, but it's just what happens. You ever been wounded? You ever been talked about? You ever been ran through the mud? You've ever had somebody say something mean to you and you didn't know how to take it? It's easy to accidentally hurt somebody. But most of the time, those wounds, those little stabs that we feel, they just happen, but for a second. Oh, that hurt. But a lot of the times, the wounds stay around a lot longer because we just keep picking at it. And then we go back and forth and just say, I can't believe that two-faced woman sat there and talked about me, but now is acting like everything is perfectly fine. Or we'll sit there and we'll say, I can't believe that my pastor handled that situation that way. I cannot believe that he moved in that area. I cannot believe that this is what happened. I don't know how in the world that this is going to change. I don't know why I'm being treated this way. I don't know exactly what's happening. And what's happening is you're festering the wound that has happened in your life. I understand it hurt. I understand the pain. I understand the agony of feeling someone accidentally or purposely hurting your feelings. But understand today that we serve a God that is able to bind up your wounds so they're able to heal properly. We don't have to live brokenhearted, and we don't have to live with wounds festered in our lives. We can live a free life today. But the writer says, he says, praise ye the Lord, for he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And as children of God today, we need to understand that there is a Christ that lives within you, that there is a Christ that lives within you, that there is a Christ that lives within you that's able to heal your broken heart, that's able to make that situation right again, that's able to pick you up out of that situation and set you over on the side and say, I will protect you, I will make it right. And there's a Christ that lives within you that is able to bind up your wounds and make it to where you heal properly. There's a Christ that lives within you that's able to take care of the circumstances and the trials and the test that is in your lives. You don't have to live brokenhearted, but you can live free and made whole today. You don't believe me? I dare you to come down and give your broken heart to God. You'll be able to stand up and say, praise ye the Lord, for he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up the wounded. But we live in silence. We don't open up our mouths because it seems like nothing changes. Your voice may not change your opinion, but let me tell you this, your God can change your opinion and the thing that is happening in your life, and it has got to be him and him alone. There's no hope in God. There's no hope in man. There's no hope in the preacher behind the pulpit. There's no hope in the piano playing and in the music. The only hope that you have is in Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ alone. The only way that you're going to have your heart healed is if you give it to God. Is there a doctor in the house? Yes. His name is Jesus Christ, and he has came to heal your heart and to bind up your wounds today. You don't have to live this way, but you can live free by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful because there's been times in my life that my heart's been broken. There's been times in my life where someone has said something against me and it's hurt my feelings, and I've festered it and I've picked at it and I've made it raw and I made it puss up and I made it something that it didn't need to be, and they didn't mean it for anything, but I just made it something so big, something so huge in all reality. All I needed to do was just take it to the Lord and leave it there, and everything would have been just fine. I'm too young. I'm too young for anybody to be worried about me. No, you're not. There's a doctor in the house, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he's no respecter of persons. Amen. He is able to heal your heart just like he's able to heal mine. He's able to bind up your wounds just like he was able to bind up mine. Often it just seems like I get on the mountaintop, all of a sudden I'm down in the valley. I get on the mountaintop and all hell breaks loose in my life. I get on the mountaintop and the devil fights me. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you care about me enough not only to save my soul. As if Calvary wasn't enough, he comes and he heals our broken hearts. As if the cross wasn't enough, he comes and he binds up our wounds whenever we get hurt. As if the cross wasn't enough, he is our aid. He is the rock upon which we can stand. He is the person that comes to us and heals us. He is the person that delivers us and gives us strength for us to fight on and to move on with him. You don't have to live defeated. You don't have to live defeated. I don't care if mommy and daddy's been split up for years. My mommy and daddy's been split up for years, and I'm doing just fine. You know why? Because he's healed my broken heart. I don't care if your mom and daddy is drug addicts. I don't care whatsoever. Let me tell you, friend, he's able to heal your broken heart. I don't care if someone's came against you. I've had people come against me. He's able to bind up your wounds today. Amen. Praise ye the Lord, for he's able to heal the brokenhearted and bind up the wounded. As my wife makes her way to the piano, a lot of you might have came to this meeting thinking this is only going to be a couple days, something's going to happen, and the Lord's not going to move on me. There's not going to be any way that the Lord's going to deal with my specific area. Let me tell you, friend, I traveled 12 hours. It was ridiculous. I traveled 12 hours to come here to tell you today that he is able to heal your broken heart. I came to tell you today, I don't care what this world is saying. I don't care what your naysayers are saying. He comes to bind up your wounds. Amen. And he's came today to specifically deal with anybody in here who's got any past hurt, who's got any past situations that has hurt them, who's broke their lives, who's broke their hearts and broke their lives. I understand that God has came and he's coming to bind up the wounds. People who are wounded, people who are bleeding and festering and have no idea how in the world they're going to make it out of this. He's came today to heal you and to bind up your wounds. How wonderful. How wonderful it is that he comes March 16th, 2019. Brother Austin, I've been dealing with this for over 3-4 years. He's able. He's able. Brother Austin, the wounds, they just keep coming. One right after the other, right after the other, right after the other. I can't catch my breath. He's able to bind up your wounds.
Glory to God.
And I feel as if today there is a young person in here that's got a broken heart and that just needed to be reminded that he's able to heal your heart. He's able to put it back together. I didn't come today to preach to you some type of eloquent message, but I came to tell you today that he is able to heal you. I may not be able to help you in your situation. Your pastor may not be able to help you in your situation. Your parents may be the ones who's causing your situation. I don't know what you're going through. Brother Austin, you don't understand. Yeah, you're right. I don't understand. But I know a man. Brother Austin, I've been going through this for a couple years. You've not been with me. No, no, I've not been with you. But I know a man. I know a man by the name of Jesus Christ who is able to be with you and to heal you and to make you whole once again. Come on, church, let's stand. He's able to heal the brokenhearted and bind up your wounds. I don't know about you, but I am tired of the devil having victory over us. I'm tired of circumstances and situations having dominion over us. How about today we got a group of young people that will stand up and say, I've been hurt, I've been wounded, but I know that when I give my heart to God, that he will heal me and he will make me right and I will serve him. We don't have to live defeated. We can live in victory. If everybody would, bow your head and close your eyes. You know who you are. These situations that you're dealing with, when you lay your head on your pillow at night and you can't stop thinking about it. I can't believe the way that this situation was handled. I can't believe how much hurt it's caused in my life. Many of us have had restless nights because we've had our hearts broke. Frantic, worrying about how in the world you're going to get out of this situation, how you're going to make your life change. Let me tell you, you're not. But Christ can. You know who you are. Brother Austin, I've had my heart broken. My heart's broken. Brother Austin, I'm wounded. If that's you, nobody looking around, nobody looking around. If that is you, raise your hand. My heart's been broken. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. The situation's too hard for me. I need God's help. Is there a doctor in the house? My heart's broke. Is there a doctor in the house? I need somebody to bind up my wounds. I dare you. I challenge you today. If your heart is broken, or if you've got wounds in your life, come and give it to Christ. Give it to God, and you'll be able to lift up your hands and say, "Praise ye the Lord. I'm a living testimony at the fact that He heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds." Let's find a place to pray this morning. Ask the Lord to help us and to bind up our wounds. Come on. Let's find a place to pray. Preachers, if you could, gather around these young people. Let's pray for them. Let's ask God to give them strength, to heal them, to help them.
Lord, I am broken.
I know we're young.
Is in pieces, but Your strength is perfect in all of my weakness.
I know we're young.
Lord, I am broken.
But our hearts
my
can still
life
be
is
healed today.
In pieces, but Your strength is perfect.
The great physician, Jesus Christ,
of my weakness. Lord, I am broken. My life is in pieces, but Your strength is perfect in all of my weakness. Lord, I am broken. My life is in pieces, but Your strength is perfect in all of my weakness. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling You. I know I'm broken.